This is On Location. I'm Tim Leitner. Today's podcast comes to On Location from Shoreline, Washington, Sacramento, California, and Charlottesville, Virginia. But first, On Location is produced by the NCO Communications Committee with special production assistance from Joe Mamlin and me. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcast, Breaker, iHeartRadio, and Radio Public, among others. So subscribe today on your favorite podcast service and tell all your friends. Listen as Mary Ellen Keeley, with the Virginia Division of Child Support, hosts a discussion about the Section 1115 grants for the Intergovernmental Case Processing Innovation Project, which was awarded by the Federal Office of Child Support Enforcement. She is joined by Alexis Ramirez with the California Department of Child Support Services and Tom Atkinson with the Washington Division of Child Support. They discuss what drew them into this federal demonstration grant, what were their favorite things about the project, and what their state implemented based on what they learned. They also talk about if they did their own evaluation or involved a vendor as part of the project. And as a bonus, hear who is the proud father of a wonderful three-year-old. It's going to be a great show, so stick around, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to another episode of NCIA On Location, coming to you from Washington State, California, and Virginia. Today, we're pleased to have two guests, one who's new to the NCIA podcast and one who's been with us before. I'll let you guys figure out which one is which. I'm Mary Ellen with Virginia Child Support in Charlottesville, Virginia. So let's get to know our guests a little bit more today. Alexis, will you introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm Alexis Ramirez, and I'm proudly from Sacramento, California. Go Kings, light the beam. I enjoy playing soccer and basketball as much as possible until I guess inevitably my knees or my back or something's going to say, you got to give this up. You're too old. I'm also the proud father of a crazy three-year-old who every day makes me both question why in the world I wanted to have kids in the first place and also how fundamentally cannot imagine my life without her. Without her in it and the joy, excitement, fun that she enriches our family with in every moment. So that's me.
How about you, Tom?
Hi, Tom Atkinson. I am a lifelong resident of the state of Washington. I live in Shoreline, Washington right now. My pastimes are watching as much football and golf on TV. My body long ago gave out any attempts at acting at sports. I have a wonderful 30-year-old living with me who will be here till I die. So it's the parallels between our lives are just stunning, Alexis. So that's my background, brief background.
Excellent. So Tom, tell me a little bit about your child support career.
I started in 1994 with the agency, so I'll be coming up on 29 years here. I started as an attorney representing the agency in administrative hearings, Washington being a dual jurisdiction state. We do a lot of administrative establishments in court. Eight years ago, I got a job in the headquarters. We've got this odd little job in Washington called a conference board chair. It's actually an ombudsman type of position. It also falls within the federal requirements that we have in a process for reviewing cases to reduce debt that is owed to the state for compromising cases and for reviewing things. After that, I became an attorney. And for the last 5+ years, I've been a policy attorney Currently litigation and policy manager. So it's I give advice to all of our support enforcement officers throughout the states on various issues. I'm giving some space or case specific guidance as well.
So Alexis, what does your child support career path look like?
Wow, 1994, that's incredible. We are definitely going to be on the opposite sides of these things. I began my career in child support in January of 2018. So I'm really a newbie in this work. I started here at the state with the California Department of Child Support Services, working on our intergovernmental services team. And I was able to work on some international payment efforts, transitioning from paper checks to direct deposits and international ACH payments to central authorities. And then I transitioned into organizational change management and business sprint facilitation, which led me to a new team called Program Innovation. And this team focuses on new technologies and ideas for the child support program, and also on facilitation of business sprints, which tackle problems and develop solutions using human-centered design and agile principles. And then I also got the chance to grow in strategic planning for the department, leading our enterprise through strategic planning processes and corralling the myriad of projects that we're working on to deliver. And then this led to my current role, which is as regional administrator for California's Northern Region, which is really the best region, if I can tell the truth. And I'm focused there on strong collaboration with our local child support agencies.
Excellent. So we're here today to talk a little bit about a grant. So before I give any information about that specific grant, I wanted to ask both of you how long you've been working in the grant world. So Tom, I'll start with you. How long have you been working on child support grants?
That would have been the Canada Mexico grant. I can't even remember. COVID has wiped out my memory. It's 2 or 3 years ago, whenever it started. That was my first grant. I actually stepped into it sideways. It was being handled by Kimberly Curtis, who is now with the Office of Child Support Enforcement. And I think it was 6 months into it, she got that job. And then I was asked to step in and be the policy person for the Canada-Mexican grant.
Okay, I completely forgot about that piece of history associated with this grant. Alexis, how about you? How many federal demonstration grants have you worked on?
Yeah, same as Tom. This was my first one. It was one of the first projects that I worked on coming into the department. We started thinking about it in 2018. I think that's kind of when the prospectus came out. And we were already kind of thinking about what it is we were going to do. So this is the first time ever for me as well.
Okay, excellent. So to tell our listeners a little bit about the grant, Virginia was also a grantee site. For me personally, it was my second federal demonstration grant. But the specific language from their website reads like this, is that in September of 2019, OCSC awarded Section 1115 grants for the Intergovernmental Case Processing Innovation Project, it's a mouthful, to 7 state and 2 tribal child support agencies. The 2-year demonstration project was designed to allow grantees to improve their existing processes and systems to test innovations likely to increase payments on intergovernmental cases and implement procedures to increase their efficiency and customer service. And I will also say that in the liner notes for this podcast, wherever you're listening to it, there's a link to the ACF website so that you can look at all of the sites. I believe they all have final presentations loaded to look at it. The other thing I'll add from a personal perspective is that this grant is kind of like the before and the after all together, because we all met in person in DC in December of 2019, and we're, you know, ready to get excited and let's do our projects. And then we went home and the holidays happened, and then we all know what happened in March of 2020. And it really, some of us were able to continue forward as our projects designed, but most of us had to completely rework how we were planning to do this. So it's part of why I wanted to talk to my peers about it today and share with our listeners a little bit about the grant in general and what that process looks like for us. So now that we know that, let's go ahead and jump in. So Alexis, why don't you start? Tell me about your project and what drew you to apply for this grant, you or your agency.
Yeah, I got to give credit to our Chief Deputy Director, Kristen Donnity, who had a real clear focus and problem she wanted us to address, and that was the review and adjustment process. She drove us to apply for this grant to think about how we can put the self-service model at the forefront. So our project ended up focusing on two key self-service opportunities. One is review and adjustment. Could we find a way for customers to quickly provide us information that would help speed up the RNA process? And two, intergovernmental forms. Could we interview style, we like to call it turbo-taxing, some of the intergovernmental forms so that customers could complete these very easily and intuitively.
Excellent. And I know, Tom, you already shared with us that perhaps you weren't as involved at the beginning of this project. Did you get any information from your team or know from experience what drew you guys to apply?
Pure speculation. No, I didn't ask. It took me a while just to get up to speed with where they were at. But because it was Canada and Mexico, I have to believe that we wanted to improve our processes with Canada. We've got really good relationships with British Columbia. We still don't have good relationships with the rest of Canada, but we figured out why. And on the other hand, we wanted to see if we could develop some relationships with Mexican states. We have a number of cases with custodians in Mexico. And this is really kind of odd. Years and years ago, we had developed a process with the Seattle Mexican Consulate to process applications and to send payments back to Mexico. By the time I got involved in this, we could not find any of the initiating documents for that relationship with the consulate. And there were problems with using the consulate when they aren't an official child support agency. But we've had some success. We made contacts there. We've worked with them. We've found ways to work around it not being an official agency-to-agency contact.
And as the interviewer, I'll apologize. I kind of backed you into this question. Could you give us kind of the overview of what your project was about? Like, what was the goal of your grant application?
No, actually, that's part of what I did not delve into is the original documentation. I kind of jumped in and went with the flow. The people that were handling it were doing a spectacular job, and I was just kind of like really stepping in when I was asked to participate. So other than the general goals of improving our processes or trying to create some processes with Mexico, no, I apologize. I do not know what those original grant documents said.
No, that was exactly what I was asking. I just want to make sure our listeners understand, even though we've talked a little bit about it already, what our the kind of the overall of our project. So that's perfect. So since I've got your attention, Tom, what was your favorite thing about your project? What did you like the best?
The connections we made with Canada and Mexico. Even though we never did set up an agreement with any Mexican states, which actually we know California has. We used one of their agreements as a template when we were trying to work out an agreement with one of the Mexican states. We still have names, phone numbers, so that when we want to look up some information, find out what's going on in particular Mexican states, we have people we can call. We've got access to the Canadian Federal Maintenance Enforcement Program application. We are actually able to sign into the British Columbia FMEP and do case lookup case work and exchange information with the BC folks on those cases. The favorite thing, we also, it's like we discovered a way on the Mexican cases because we were working with CPC Mexico, and that created an extremely difficult payment processing avenue. We have started having those custodians just let us know that they want a direct case so that we can actually send them a debit card, a cash card, and put the money onto an electronic format where they get the money immediately. Apparently, the cash processing fees were just horrendous for CPs in Mexico if we send them checks.
Interesting. I had no idea. So how about you, Alexis? What was your favorite thing about your project?
Yeah, I was just going to piggyback on what Tom was mentioning with getting cash over to Mexico. That was one of the projects I was working on to get folks enrolled in direct deposit and in EPC cards that were living in Mexico, because those fees are incredibly prohibitive. So I can appreciate that that challenge. So the two things for me that were really impactful and my favorite things about this project, along similar lines as Tom, the collaboration with our local child support agencies, the time we spent together coming up with ideas, the back and forth of solutioning, growing in our trust and camaraderie. You know, at the end of the day, for me, it's all about people. The human connections are what make all this time and effort worth it. And second is customer self-service. So when we started working on this grant in 2018, customer self-service is something we were all interested in and saw as an important feature of our program for the future. But little did we know that come 2020, that need would be put on steroids with COVID. And now there's just no going back. People want the ability to do everything online and the ability to provide information in a way that's convenient for them. We bank online, we shop online, we order food online, our groceries, our restaurant meals. The expectation is that we can do it for ourselves if we want to. And I think our project had that at the forefront of it.
Most definitely. I remember when we were trying to rework our project to account for the inability to meet in person. I was like, man, I wish we had done a project like California, because we need those services too. So I'm glad you guys worked out the kinks for us. And then hopefully, like, we borrow our systems, we can borrow some of that technology as well. So now that the grant is complete, everybody kind of finished at different times. Some sites asked for extensions based on delays with COVID. But now that everybody's grant is complete, what changes have you implemented in your state based on what you learned? Alexis, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I don't know if we've necessarily implemented changes, but we're still running both of our projects. We're looking to expand our eRNA functionality to include a fully generated signed income and expense declaration. And that's going to happen here in the next 18 months or so. We're also utilizing our forms platform, our forms technology solution, and we're going to expand its use. Right now we have the general testimony and the declaration in support of establishing parentage in this platform. And we're going to expand it to some other intergovernmental forms. We might offer additional languages. There's a lot that we can do in this platform that will ease the way that customers are asked to fill out forms.
Excellent. I know, Tom, you mentioned some of the relational things that have continued. Were there any other items of your grant project that continued on based on what you learned?
Oh, yes. We have 9 field offices in the state of Washington, and I was able to develop an intergovernmental liaison group with one in every one of our field offices who share some responsibility for processing intergovernmental cases, and they can provide some guidance for other employees in their field offices. And this is something that I noticed years ago, and that is our child support agencies tended to have one intergovernmental subject matter expert. Guess who that is? And so I wanted to be able, and I'm going to be retiring in 5 or so years. And so I didn't want to leave the agency with having to do the same thing, finding a SME, you know, when I'm getting ready to retire. So I'm trying to develop a lot of employees that have at least some experience and exposure and competence in handling intergovernmental cases. On the Canadian cases, we also discovered they weren't being handled particularly well. We've cleaned up a lot of those. Incorrect notices had been served. The debt calculations needed to be cleaned up. And so now we have SEOs, support enforcement officers, who are on top of all of our Canadian cases. They also have permission. They don't have to go through channels to try to get somebody in headquarters to help them. They can call me direct. And so that's a nice change, because we do have a what we call a policy inbox for any employee to submit a policy question to get some help on a case. With the intergovernmental cases, I've given our support enforcement officers the permission so that they can act now. So things don't just sit there and simmer. They can contact me directly and we can get the problems taken care of on any case that we've got. And then I've mentioned also on the Mexican cases, we're getting as many of those changed from what were tagged as intergovernmental cases into direct requests, mainly so that we can get those payments to the custodial parents virtually immediately as opposed to taking months.
That makes sense. The liaison in each office, having been the prior intergovernmental expert in an office once upon a time, is a great idea to try to create more of yourself. So I'm sure that your offices appreciate that. So I have a question. My next question is based on my own personal grant experience, this grant actually. And so my question is did you do your own in-house evaluation or did you have a vendor partner for that, whether it was a government entity or something like that? Just curious how evaluation is being handled in the other grant shops around the country.
We did our own evaluation. I think we were well positioned to do this evaluation because we controlled and had access to all the data from our platforms, and we were able to automate qualitative feedback within the platforms. I would also be remiss if I didn't give a big kudos to Victor Ine, our incredible grant analyst, who started working on the evaluation at the beginning of the grant. And that is one piece of advice I would give to future grantees: it is never too early to start thinking and to actually do the evaluation components for your grant.
I learned some very important lessons very difficultly on this grant. I take full responsibility, but that's good to know. How about you, Tom? Did you guys do internal evaluation or did you have an evaluation partner?
We had a partner pretty much, and it seemed like we were basically evaluating the entire time we were going along. One of our vendors was giving us some regular, this was stunning. They were basically writing policies, proposed policies that we could use mainly for our Canadian cases and, you know, using UIFSA. And it's like, it blew me away because we've already got a handbook, which is thousands and thousands of pages. We've got our own internal, this is how you handle cases. And so it was kind of interesting to see how they came up with that from an outsider to provide these proposed policies. We did a couple of internal reviews after it was done. One, because we needed to report to management and tell them this is what we've learned, this is what we want. One main review internal after it was done. But it's like just the whole process, because we had so much input from the vendors. And we were reviewing everything as we went along. It's like, you know, where were we? Where are we? What do we want to go from here? So it felt like an evaluative process the entire time.
Definitely. Yeah. So any of our listeners out there that are not currently applying for federal demonstration grants and want to, we should record this section and remember it, because that's very important. Evaluation from the beginning and continuing staying on top of it and monitoring that as you go through the process. So if you could go back and redo anything, let's give the caveat within your control, because we can't change COVID. What would you do differently, Alexis?
We really can't go and undo COVID. I mean, as devastating and transformative as the pandemic has been for our society writ large, I can't think of a bigger bomb to drop in the middle of a grant project. I feel like all us grantees were looking around at each other like, okay, what do we want to do here? But on a more practical level, I wish we could have realized our solutions sooner and been more well positioned to deliver on some of the expanded solutions that we are now offering within each of our platforms. I also wish personally I had relaxed a little bit on the budget piece. Having never done a grant before, I was really, really scared by the whole budget management component. But at the end of the day, we have a really strong accounting and administrative team that helped us through it every step of the way. So I would give myself a little bit of grace in that space.
I agree. It's our finance team keeps that afloat for me. I mean, of course, as the project director, I'm ultimately responsible, but they are an amazing asset. So again, anyone thinking about doing grants, you have a finance team in-house, I'm sure you do, and they'll help you out. How about you, Tom? If you could go back and redo anything, what would you do differently? Other than not let Kimberly get away.
Well, then I would never have been exposed to the grant myself. Oddly enough, it's like I'm involved in the SAVES grant right now, which about a dozen states and tribes are involved with. And I guess I would compare what I'm doing this because I discovered I was notified that the SAVES grant was coming up months in advance of even us applying. And domestic violence is something that I have an extreme interest in. And I'm our headquarters domestic violence liaison. And so when that came up, it's like it excited me to see something that we could use to, you know, develop our policies and practices. So I was involved in that long before we even applied. The grant administrator kept me involved as he was applying. And it's like I've been involved with the administrator, and we hired a grants manager. I consider myself their right-hand person and biggest cheerleader. And so it's like, I guess I would, if I had to do that over again, it would be what I've done with the grant I'm currently working on. And that is injected myself as early as possible, learn as much about it as possible, collaborate and provide my perspective, basically just kind of get into it, just bathe in the process and immerse myself completely.
Yeah, planning, more planning, replanning, plan some more. Assess your planning. I agree. I wasn't as involved in the application process for this grant either, so I completely echo that. So any last thoughts or wisdom you'd like to leave our listeners with today?
My only other thought is that you should definitely apply for a grant. The people at OCSC are very helpful. The collaboration with other states and hearing what they are doing is fantastic. And the opportunity to try something different and new without the fear of failure is fun and rewarding. At the end of the day, you're just testing a hypothesis, and that is incredibly freeing.
How about you, Tom?
I would say it's kind of carrying on from what I just mentioned about the SAVE grants. Look for grant opportunities, become a cheerleader in your agency to apply for grants that you're interested in, which is what I did with SAVES. Just, I guess, make it known, find out the people in your agency who apply for the grants, who can make you a part of a grant process team, and just express your interest. And I expect that any agency is going to be happy to have employees who just express their views and make themselves available to work on grants.
Excellent. Well, on behalf of the podcast team, I want to thank the two of you for joining us today for another episode of NCIA On Location to speak with us and share a little bit about yourselves. Also, thank you again to our listeners for joining us. I'm Mary Ellen Keeley, and this has been NCIA On Location.
On Location is available on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and anywhere you get your podcasts. We have a lot of great episodes on the way, so be sure to subscribe and listen to all of our previous episodes as well. We also appreciate your ratings, your feedback, your comments, and your suggestions. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, please reach out to us on the contact link on our website. On Location is a production of the NCIA Communications Committee with special production assistance from Joe Mamlin and me. Thanks again for joining me. I'm Tim Leitner, and this has been On Location.